But tonight we're going to talk about a subject that is can be, quite frankly, a tender subject. I don't believe there's a person in this room, at least I don't tend to think there is a person in this room that would say they enjoy being rejected. That is a very, very tough act to respond to. The act of rejection in our hearts and spirits. And I want to talk about tonight some things that we can learn from the life of Jephthah, found in Judges chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. I'll read that now. Judges chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of an harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman." Verse 3 says, "Then Jephthah fled from his brethren, and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and went out with him." Let's pray together. Father, I am praying tonight that you would lead in this Bible study. Holy Spirit, I'm praying that you would grip our hearts and teach us the truths of your word tonight. Lord, would you help us to understand how to respond to rejection? And Father, I pray that whatever we're dealing with tonight, different areas of our life, seasons of our life, and Lord, I pray you'd give us wisdom and the fullness of your Spirit. And may you be glorified and may your people be helped tonight through these truths found in the precious Word of God. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the theme verses that we will find that I want us to have for this lesson, I've given you one each time. The theme verse here, you don't have to turn there. We'll see it again, but I'm going to read it. And that is Psalm 73:25, which says this: "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee." That's the theme verse. And as we look at this study, although we all desire acceptance, do we not? It is a desire that we all have, but rejection is an inevitability at some point for all of us. And but while some people will reject you, we can declare tonight with great authority and great gratitude, quite frankly, God will never reject us. People will, but God will not. Now, God does reject a sinful lifestyle, but He will never reject His children. And there is great confidence there and great encouragement. And we're going to learn how to respond appropriately when we do experience rejection, resting in the realization that Jesus Christ fully accepts us. Rejection is inevitable. And quite frankly, rejection hurts. Maybe you've experienced it tonight. Maybe you are experiencing it. I'm not sure. But I know for sure that one thing is that we will all experience at some point in our life. Perhaps when you were a child growing up in your home, perhaps you went through a situation where one of your siblings was favored above yourself and you felt rejected. Perhaps it was a teacher in class that rejected you but accepted other students. And maybe it was even in a church setting. Now, I believe every one of you agree with this. The last place a person should feel rejected is the church. That is an absolute truth that we cannot ever give the impression of rejection to anybody. And that's something that I always pray, especially for our young people, because it can be a special temptation for them. But it goes with adults too, folks. There is that there. But perhaps you've experienced that where you felt like you were left out on purpose. It hurts. And Jephthah is one that's going to experience this to a very high degree. a major degree. And we see here that in our text, Jephthah bore a stigma he couldn't help, and that was simply that he was born of a prostitute. He had no control over that. And as we'll see through this account, there are many times in life where we're rejected because of something we had nothing to do with. And how do we respond to that? Well, we're going to see how he responded. But instead of accepting him as one of their own, his brothers teamed up on him and simply kicked him out of the house. That's what the Word of God declares. They made him leave because they wanted the inheritance for themselves, and this rejection affected him for the rest of his life. And it resulted in some irreparable consequences that we'll talk about here in a moment. But in this lesson, we're going to learn from Jephthah's story as we study how to deal with various types of rejection, because there are different types that we're going to encounter. But number one, I want us to see the presence of rejection. That's in your first blank, the presence of rejection. It's real in our lives. And as Jephthah's brothers pushed him away, we all have been rejected in some form, and it always hurts. And letter A, I want us to see the causes of rejection. Letter A, under number one, what are the causes? Why does rejection come to our lives? Contrary to what our feelings tell us, in most cases, not all, there are exceptions, but get this, in most cases, it is simply something we couldn't avoid because of something in our lives. It's not necessarily that we've done something wrong, but the very fact that sometimes these rejections that come in our lives were out of our control. And this was one of them. He couldn't help his mother's choices. He had no control over that, did he? But nevertheless, they penalized him for it. And maybe you've lived through that situation. Maybe it's something you were born with. Maybe it's a social status. Maybe it's an appearance. Maybe it's an ability. It's something that because of you don't measure up to another standard. Maybe you have experienced that. I have. And I believe we all have. But may we understand right off before we continue through this study. Listen, for God's people, we are all equal. Every one of us, we're equal. You know what I say often, and I heard it, and I love it because it's so true. The ground at the foot of the cross is level. God is no respecter of persons, as it says in Acts chapter 10, there in your handout in 34. Peter even quoted that, opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons," as God was teaching him that. But we're going to see some causes of rejection, and it's a reality. You even see there in that passage, I'm not going to read all of it there in James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and then verse 9. James gives an illustration here, an example of people being rejected. It was rich people and poor people being compared, and basically the poor people were being rejected. And notice what he says here. If there come unto your assembly, it says in verse 2, a man with a gold ring, and basically goes and describes a very wealthy person. And then he says, you have respect unto him, and you sit him in the best place, but when the poor comes in, you say, stand thou here, or sit here under my footstool. Do you see what happens here? This is a response of church people and how they responded to when a rich person came to their church and when a poor person came to their church. And boy, James is really hitting them hard on this. He says, no, that is not the way you treat people. Everyone is accepted equally for God's people, and especially in the local church. So we see that we have to be very careful with our attitude there, because that can be a cause of rejection, the way someone is viewed because of their social status or whatnot. But I tell you here, it wasn't just prejudice that led to Jephthah's brothers to reject him. There was a jealousy there, wasn't there? And many times people go through rejection because of jealousy, and we must learn how to respond to that. They didn't want him to have anything to do with their inheritance. So they made him pay for it. But beyond being rejected for who we are, however, we can also be rejected for what we do. We're going to see through as we study this passage and study other passages, I should say, that deal with this subject of rejection. Jesus Christ deals with this. You know, we read just recently, didn't we, that David, he witnessed and experienced rejection from Saul. And just think about all that David went through when he did nothing wrong. But he was obviously rejected from King Saul in that time of his life and how he responded. We learned a lot from that. But look what Jesus said, even in your handout there. Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." There is a time where when we see rejection is for doing right. Now, that isn't an amazing thought if you think about it. Blessed, it says, when we continue serving God despite the rejection from others. Now, we do not experience this on the level that some of our brothers and sisters do around the world. I think of our dear missionaries there, the Bachmans, and I think of the Masters that are missionaries in North Africa and the people that they're winning to Christ there from that predominant religion of Islam. I want to tell you, these people are facing major rejection. And we can't hardly fathom what they're going through because we've never experienced anything on that level where you're basically cast out of the family and even your life threatened because you've decided to follow Jesus Christ. But it does happen. And we may not experience anything to that level, folks, but I want to tell you, if you face rejection because of your following Christ and seeking to honor Him, I want to tell you, we can't let the opinions of others sway us from honoring the Lord God Almighty. That just can't happen. And so we see here that it can be done as a reality of for doing right, but you know, rejection can be happen for doing wrong as well. Sometimes we can bring rejection onto ourselves, can we not? It really can. It can be something we did wrong and that we need to make right. We see an example of that in the prodigal son who was rejected by his brother. When he came back, he did wrong, but when he came back, it was obvious that he had truly offended his brother by wasting all his dad's money and out there in wicked living. And his brother resented that, and he refused to welcome him and return him home. What was the father doing? The father was doing right, just like our Heavenly Father does. He brings him in and accepts him and restores him, but that brother refused. He should have forgiven. But you see, that was a time for that brother. We don't know the parable there was not given. But in a situation like that, we know when we've done wrong, we've been rejected. You know, it would be a good idea for us to make things right. Maybe you're walking through some rejection right now and you need to take a closer look at what caused it. Maybe you said something. Maybe you did something. Maybe there's something in your life currently that is taking place and as a result is dealing with some rejection. And it'd be good for you and I to evaluate and take steps to make things right. The Lord would have us do that. It takes humility to do that, but it's necessary. And but you need to continue in confidence that God is no respecter of persons, and He's wanting all of us to succeed in the will of God. I can remember a life lesson as I was in the Coast Guard when it came to this thing of rejection and a reality of rejection, and it was my fault. There on the Coast Guard ship, on the cutter, I had worked up to a level where I was not up at the lookout station the all morning in the helm. We got to where we were at a bosun's watch where we actually made rounds around the ship. So we'd be able to make rounds, we'd go up to the bridge and whatnot and hang out a little bit, then go back down and do a full round. And it was the same round. We'd go and we'd check compartments. We would just check things were secure and tight, make sure there were no leaks and different things of that nature. And so this one place down at the bottom of the ship, there was a certain hatch that had kind of an opening to it, but we were required to open up the hatches. and to make sure that everything was okay. There was no water or leaks. Well, I was tired one night, and I just, instead of scooping that, getting down and opening up and surveying, evaluating that area to see if there were any leaks, I didn't do that. I didn't open it. Because sometimes you could just flash your light. And, you know, if you got a bright light and you flash it over that open spot, if there's water, you're going to see a reflection. Well, I did that. I didn't see a reflection, so I went on. Well, what I did not know is that my superior there, he had put something in that hatch to see if we were doing our jobs when we were doing our rounds. And he called me in on it. And he said, you're losing your job. He said, you're going to, what are you talking about? And I tried to excuse it, but I came to the realization that, you know what, I admitted it. And then I said, well, I did flash my lighter. He said, no. He said, people's lives are at stake, young man. He said, you open the hatch every time. And that was very humbling for me. And I lost my job there, and it took me a while to earn it back. But thankfully, I did earn it back after a couple months. It was very humiliating. My peers and what that were under me, they I had to go back and doing what they were doing. And it was very humbling. But one of the things it taught me, I got some I experienced that rejection there, but it was a learning lesson. And folks, when we get when we experience rejection because there's a flaw in our life, listen, it's not a time to get bitter. It's a time to learn from it. It's a time to embrace it as a life lesson and say, you know what? I need to work on that. I need to do a better job at that and grow from it. And I'm thankful. And I that guy wanted me to come be a part of his wedding. That boss of mine, he's a BM1. He's retired now as a chief. But I've told him that often. I said, and it was before I got saved, and God was using that in my life to bring me to Christ. And I told him, I said, thank you for holding me accountable and not letting me get away with that kind of foolishness. But we deal with that, and we need to learn from it. But then I want us to see letter B, the conduits of rejection. That's letter B. The conduits of rejection, that channel of rejection. Sometimes it's not the reason for rejection that we struggle with, but it's the source. That's letter B. It's the source. Rejection can come from anywhere. You know, it can come from foes. It can come from enemies. It can come from friends. It can come from family, and that's when it's the hardest, when it comes from friends and family. Enemies, you know, we expect to be rejected by enemies, don't we? that comes, people who don't know us, and we can just simply get over those things a little bit better when we, or somebody criticizes us, or somebody mocks us, and they don't even know us, and it's still not easy, but it does make it a little easier. That person doesn't even know me. I'm not going to worry about that. But when the temptation, the real temptation is when we are rejected by our friends, our family. But during these times, we can go to the Lord and know that He can strengthen us. Rejection, again, never feels good, but it hurts even worse when it comes from those closest to us. And those ones that we should be able to normally depend upon and ones that whom we've confided in, our secrets and our hopes, and that we trust. And look at that verse there, Psalm 41:9, in your handout says, yea, my familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. One thing we can do tonight to be comforted when we are rejected by our friends, you can be assured of this, Jesus understands how we feel. Notice there, John 13:8, he says, I speak not of you all. Jesus says, I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Zechariah goes and gives another one there. At the end it says, then he shall answer those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. I believe Jesus lived through the deepest rejection possible. The people He created and for whom He was giving His own life for were the very ones He was being crucified for. He endured the ultimate act of betrayal. And I want to tell you tonight, He cares when you too are facing rejection. He knows it when we're facing it, but He knows it and He cares about what we're dealing with. Now, in the text there in Judges, we see that the final source of rejection can be our family. As we've seen in Jephthah's story, imagine what he's going through. He fled, had to flee his home, knowing that it was on his own flesh and blood that turned on him. Family, I believe, is one of the most precious gifts we have. And we cherish that. But when a family member rejects us, I tell you, that gets tough. But we see Jesus also experienced that. Notice John 7:5 in your handout, "For neither did his brethren believe in him." It's an understatement, but we know rejection does cause great harm. And if we don't address it before it overtakes our hearts and minds, I want to tell you tonight, just like the other things we've studied and the different obstacles and hurdles we're going to, if we don't deal with it, it will destroy us. It certainly will. And number two, let's look quickly at the natural responses to rejection. Look at the natural responses to rejection. And we come to the tragedy of a wrong response to rejection in the life of Jephthah, his infamous vow that he made. If he could just win the battle, if he could just win the war, if he could just win the attention of the people, everything would be perfect. And he decided to make a vow before God to ensure victory. And that's found in Judges 11:30-31. He basically said, he vowed a vow and said, "Hey, if you'll deliver me, the first person that walks through my door, Lord, over the, if you deliver us over the Ammonites, the first person that walks through that door, I will sacrifice." So the first thing that walks through that door, because it could have been an animal, I suppose. But he didn't think that well. He didn't think that through well, did he? And can you see how reckless this vow was that he made? It cost him. He was not thinking of that cost. He was exclusively focused on what? And here's what it goes back to. He was focused on gaining acceptance. If I could gain the acceptance of those people that cast me out and rejected me at one time in my life, they've come back to me. They want me to be their leader. They want me to win this battle for them. And you know what? That's all he was focused on, those that had rejected him. The Lord did give Jephthah a great victory. But happiness turned into tragedy very quickly, didn't it? And the first thing that came up the path into that, into his house was not an animal. It was his daughter. It was his daughter that came through those doors. And you can imagine how his heart sank down to his stomach when he realized the foolish decision he had made to gain acceptance. And of course, we see the expression there, "Alas, my daughter," in verse 35, and we see her response, and her response was a very honorable and, I believe, godly response, but there was a consequence there. And we're going to see more of that here in just a moment, because, you know, we know that he said that he would sacrifice, put to death that which would come through those doors, but we see here that it's not crystal clear whether that happened. There are a lot of scholars who differ on this, but it appears that for sure that there were very much consequences. It looks like that she would remain celibate, and there would be no marriage there in her life. I personally take the thought here that he did not kill her. That's my opinion. But the fact of the matter is, and by the way, let's just mark this down. If you ever get in a situation where you make a promise to sin, it is okay to back out. Amen? If you make a promise to go rob the bank tomorrow and the next day you make a better decision, it's okay. So we see that I do believe that there was still a great task here, because of course his daughter would have wanted to have been married. Of course she would have wanted that lifelong marriage to the husband of her dreams, but that's not going to happen. And it was a result of her daddy just wanting to go for acceptance. And it will get us in trouble when we do it on that basis and on that premises. Notice three common responses that we see in our handout here. That deal with this matter of rejection. Number one, natural responses of rejection, it's confusion. Many times it will cause confusion. That's letter A under number two. Rejection has a way of messing with our beliefs and our hearts, with our minds. I'll be honest with you here. You think about this. When you start dealing with rejection and the emotions of that, I want to tell you, sometimes it can really mess your thinking about who you are. It can get you in such a deep place of depression because you've experienced that, and your mind and the devil starts attacking and get so twisted up about who you are. And great doubt moves in because there's been a rejection. And it's hard to evaluate others' motives when you objectively look at your own hearts. And we find it difficult to judge who we can trust and who really loves us. And then we start doubting all those things. And then suddenly, as some of the other symptoms, we go in self-preservation mode, where we just draw back and we don't trust anybody. And then we got this shell that put up around us because we've been rejected to protect ourselves. And what happens is it's a front that I'm not going to let anybody hurt me again. I'm not putting myself in any vulnerable position again and trusting someone and loving someone. And this shell is formed, but then deep down inside, you know what's still there? The hurt. Confusion. There's still a want for acceptance. There's a drive for acceptance. And sometimes it can be taken to an extreme, to where there's foolish risk taken. And we need to beware of that. But letter B, not only confusion, but a symptom can be contention. Not just a wrong view of ourselves, but a wrong view of others. It truly can transform our view of others. Whether it be a close friendship or a family member, whatever the case may be, we can just become completely bitter and angry and really ready to fight. I've seen it. I've seen it happen. And it's so sad to where that takes place. And typically people who struggle with anger, mark it down. Typically people who struggle with anger have experienced rejection in their lives. At some point, they have experienced that hurt of being rejected, and then it often causes that problem of anger and bitterness. And you know, I've said it here before, and we've seen it at Good News Club, but hurt people hurt people. I see it at Good News Club. Some of those kids, they come into that gymnasium and I can almost see it immediately. They're hurt. And so what is their tendency in their little undeveloped minds and undisciplined minds and just coming from what they're coming from? They are out to hurt people. That's how they deal with hurt. But we know that's not the Christ way. We do know that is not the way God intends us. It is important that we cling to biblical view of ourselves and others when going through rejection. But then we notice thirdly here the compliance. A common result of this rejection is compliance. It's an attitude of compliance, unfortunately, with sin. If we're not careful, rejection will drive us to stoop to almost anything to do what? To gain acceptance. You know, anybody's been around teenagers long enough, you know that's a big temptation. The peer groups, you know, how can I get accepted? And then there's that idea of, I'll do what I have to do. If they can look at me as their friend, and I can be their friend, and I can be pulled in with everyone else, and there's a compliance there, because instead of facing rejection, many young people just say, okay, I'll participate in this lifestyle. Very devastating. That's why it's very important to try to encourage and train our young people that it's okay to take a stand and walk them through those times of rejection and be with them, encourage them, help them. But we see here that even the cycle of rejection here in this compliance can also just lead to rebellion, as we saw in Absalom's life just last week. And it's that passage there. For sake of time, we're not going to go back to that. But sometimes when we're bitter at a person who rejected us, and other times we blame ourselves, but sometimes people even blame God for rejection. How could God, who loved me, how could He allow this to happen? How could He allow this rejection to happen, allow this pain into our lives? But then we go back to the cross, don't we? We go back to Jesus, who also experienced great rejection. Yet, get this, if you get anything else from this study, please. Jesus also experienced great rejection, yet His life did not become defined by it. Jesus Christ experienced great rejection, yet His life did not become defined by it. And once we trust in Christ as our Savior, we are in Christ. We have a new nature and we're able to respond to life situations as the way Jesus Christ did. And we see that we can't allow our natural responses to rejection go unchecked in our lives. They will destroy us. And may I just give that admonition tonight. Don't let it. Let's make a decision that it's not worth it. It's not worth it. But number three, let's look at biblical principles for rejection. That's number three. You could choose the natural route and seek acceptance at any cost like Jephthah did. And you could choose a path of healing. What does it look like to choose the route of healing? What does that look like? If I say, okay, I'm not going to go into that route of rebellion and resentment, being resentful, but I'm going to go for a route of healing. Number one, rejection can be a sign you are doing right. Just realize that it may just be for the reason you're doing right. And we know in Peter there in your handout that it talks about that those that live godly in Christ Jesus, they shall suffer. Verse 16, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. That's another one to share with your teenager and to share with your young people and for us to share with each other. We don't need to be ashamed when we suffer for Christ's sake. Amen? Give them the Word of God. They need the Word of God. They don't just need a pep talk. They do need the Word of God to meditate on and to read that with them. We can glorify God through rejection. And then letter B, notice that rejection may have nothing to do with you. Letter B, rejection may have nothing to do with you. And sometimes we are sucked into this thing that, hey, it's all my fault. And it may not be any of your fault. It may could be you may have contributed in some way, but maybe not. I mean, I think of just the way God looks at these things. If I were just better looking, we would say. If I just had a better personality, they'd accept me. If I was a little skinnier or a little taller. If I had a little more money. If I had a little this or that. And then we're so hard on ourselves, but then we have to realize that is not biblical thinking. Look what look what God told Jeremiah, and it's there in your handout. Jeremiah said, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God had a special purpose for Jeremiah's life. He hadn't failed in any way. He was just the way God had made him, and God designed him to fulfill what He wanted him to do. And the same can be applied to you. Listen, spending our lives trying to make up for something we never did wrong is a recipe for disaster. Trying to make up for something God never intended you to have is going to lead a life of depression. We must understand that if we're rejected because something that we have no control over, listen, it is best that we move on. As noticed there in 1 Samuel 8:7, it goes back to our study before. They have not rejected thee, it says, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Although it felt like it to Samuel, he wasn't the one the people were turning against. It wasn't Samuel. And maybe you've had similar thoughts and you're facing rejection. But may we be encouraged by the fact that God is working even through areas that are out of our control. Now listen, I will add this point. It's not in there, but as I said earlier, rejection can stem from a fault. And we got to learn from it, don't we? I think of even in sports now, we see it all the time. Those of you that like watching football especially, they have really cracked down on what they call the penalty of targeting. And it's a good rule that they've made. It's basically where the player, the defensive player, targets the helmet with the crown of his helmet, defenseless receiver, and targets his head against his head. It can cause serious concussions and very serious injuries. And so they've penalized that now. So when a person does that, when they see it deliberate targeting, they eject them from the game. And they're out a whole half, and or if in the second half they have to miss the next half, and that's just a rule. Now, why do I say that? Because how can that happen? When sometimes it may be an accident, sometimes it's on purpose. But let's just say a man was not being careful enough. He should have turned his head, he should have turned his shoulder in, but he didn't do it properly. So he gets penalized from it, and it's going to hurt. And it's going to hurt the team. But you know what that player does? If he's going to be a good team player, you know what he does? He learns his lesson. He comes back out there in the next half and gives it all he's got. And he apologizes to his team, and you see a lot of that. He apologizes to his coach. He apologizes to the university and said, I wasn't thinking. I'm taking ownership, but I'm going to do better next time. That is what we too have to do. That's how we deal when it goes on us, taking ownership for it. But we see here moving along, That again, when we deal with these things, letter C says, even in rejection, Jesus is all you need. Jesus is all you need. Can you say amen right there? Before Jephthah went to war, his thoughts must have been along these lines. If I could just win this battle, if I could just get this battle won, the troubles are over. I'm the new hero in town. I'm finally accepted. People will look up to me. I finally get some respect. I'm finally somebody. He convinced himself that he needed his brother's acceptance, and he took a risky chance to get it, and that's where he failed. But likewise, folks, when we're dealing with rejection, please listen. We have to be careful that we do not go to extremes just to prove ourselves. That's dangerous. When we begin to worship acceptance, sound judgment disappears. When we worship acceptance, sound judgment disappears. Tragically, there are many gangs that have a brutal initiation process. They require a member of that gang to come in and take a beating from all the other members, nearly to death sometimes. Why would a person with any brain go through such treatment? I'll tell you why. Because more than anything else, they want to be accepted. We have to be careful because Jesus is truly all we need. And if we face rejection, we must not go through any extremes to prove ourselves that we're worthy of accepted. We have nothing to prove, folks. We are accepted in the Beloved. We are in Christ. But then our theme verse, Psalm 73:25, whom have I in heaven but thee? There's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. You ought to mark that verse down. It's there in your handout. Memorize it. Think about it. It's a great verse to memorize, especially dealing with rejection. 70:23, yeah, right there in your handout, Psalm 73:25, under letter C it should be. Is it there? Okay. Letter D, when rejected, focus on being a help to others. Focus on being a help to others. Now, even when you don't get anything in return, a step of recovering from rejection many times is pouring yourself into others. Reach out to somebody that might be experiencing the same thing. Be a blessing to all people, no matter what they can do for us. Because a trap of this thing of being accepted and dealing with rejection, we get into this emotional trap. And again, this can be prominent among young people especially, but adults have to be careful too. That we get into this mindset that is very unchristian, but it's this: I'll like you if you like me. I'll accept you if you accept me. And if you don't accept me, then I'm not going to accept you. But you know what Christian people ought to be like? Every age group. I'm going to accept you whether you accept me or not. Amen? I'm going to accept you whether you accept me or not. And you know what? Love wins every time. Every time. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. When you're rejected in that way, have the right spirit. Love one another as Jesus said. Live peaceably with all men as Jesus, Paul said. And as Paul said in Ephesians, be kind one to another as he goes through tender-hearted forgiving one another. That is what God expects. So think about Jephthah here. He thought his brothers were mean and vindictive and prejudiced and narrow-minded and petty until they said, what, come back and be our general. And then he was right off with them until they needed something. And I want to tell you, watch out for that crowd that shows acceptance only when you can offer them something. Mark that crowd. Be gracious, be loving, but mark them. When they only accept you when you have something to offer. Let me make this statement here. Our judgments and decisions must be based on what's right and wrong, not what others think of us. As we conclude tonight's Bible study, we need to think about Jephthah here. If you ask Jephthah, is there anything for which you would surrender your daughter? What do you think he would say? Is there anything for which you would surrender your daughter? I believe he would have said, absolutely not. If he had been outright presented the choice between his brother's acceptance who rejected him and actually, surrendering his daughter, he absolutely would have chosen his daughter over those brothers. But that's not usually how the choice is presented to us, is it? Jephthah didn't know that when he decided, I'll do anything to reverse this rejection, that the anything would be his daughter. Listen, everywhere you look, people are searching to find a place to belong in a harsh world, are they not? That's why we as a church, as a local church, that we always make sure that every person is fully accepted in the Beloved. In Christ. Now we know that there are lifestyles that must be rejected in the local church. Someone would have to be ignorant of the Word of God not to understand that. But the person, the people, everyone should be accepted and loved and reached. And the same way should be for family members. We can take a stand for what's right. Absolutely. But there must be a spirit of acceptance there. Of the person, and we see that it will make a big difference. Because we do know in our heads that Christ accepts us unconditionally, but that doesn't diminish the pain I know of rejection from others. It's something we deal with. And so the only place where we find full and complete acceptance is at the foot of the cross. That's in Christ. We are completely accepted by God, and that's in your handout there, Ephesians 1:6. And here at the cross, as we see in this context, there's nothing to prove. And here there is nothing to fear. In Christ, you will never be rejected. You are free to live a life of joy and belonging. As I preached this past Sunday on the husband and wife relationship, the together there should always have that spirit of belonging. And that, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ, are just a few points about how to deal with rejection. Let's pray together. Father, I do ask that you would help this account in the Word of God with Jephthah and Lord, what he went through. And God, I know you gave him a victory there, but at the same time, we see a devastating vow that was made, a foolish vow that appears that directed towards being accepted. Oh God, protect us from that. Lord, give us discernment and wisdom how to deal with rejection when it has nothing to do with us. And Lord, teach us to deal with rejection when we did have a part of it, when we did contribute toward the rejection. And Lord, may tonight we realize, oh God, that you will never, ever, ever, for all eternity, you will never reject your children. Oh God, and you will never reject a sinner who comes to you for salvation. We know that thou hast said, in no wise, if any man come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. God, we're thankful for these great truths. And may they govern us. May they control us. And may you be glorified. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.